Welcome to the Company of Dads podcast, where we explore the sweet, silly, strange, and sublime aspects of being a lead dad in a world where men, who are the go-to parent, aren't always accepted at work, among their friends, or in the community for what they're doing. I'm your host, Paul Sullivan. Our podcast is just one of the many things we produce each week at the Company of Dads. We have various features, including the Lead Dad of the Week. We have our community, both online and in person. We have a new resource library for all fathers. The one-stop shop to learn about all of this is our newsletter, The Dad. So sign up today at thecompanyofdads.com/thedad. Today, my guest is Sir Royce Brialis, the co-founder of the Welcome to Fatherhood podcast. Sir Royce's mission is to help fathers cope with the stresses and pressures of being a dad today. Sir Royce is a father of three, ages 12, 8, and 6. Two boys up top and a girl in the third spot. And he works with his childhood best friend, Dr. Raheem Young. We've got lots to talk about today. So, Sir Royce, welcome to the Company of Dads podcast.
Hey, Paul, man. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
You know, you're a smart guy. You're doing interesting work here. You know the acronym of that podcast? You know, Welcome to Fatherhood? WTF. My teenager sometimes uses that. That's you know, that's not a nice phrase. How did that come about? How did that come about?
So it was a lot of things. So back in 2015, me and my childhood friend, Dr. Raheem Young, we met just to talk about different business ideas because we were actually got into real estate maybe 10 years before that. Then the real estate bubble happened and we didn't do real estate anymore after that. So we kind of fell off of real estate, but we kind of always had like an entrepreneurial spirit. So back in 2015, I was also expecting to have my son. At that time, my wife at the time, she was pregnant. So a lot of the conversations would go from business to fatherhood questions. Like, hey, man, how many times did you wake up in the middle of the night? That kind of thing, you know? And that just kind of sparked the idea in both of our minds. Like, hey, why don't we do something for dads? You know, why don't we just start looking up some stuff for dads? Like, what can we do for dads? And I literally went home that night, Googled it in Chicago. That's where we're based. And there are probably about one or two pages on Google for fatherhood organizations in Chicago. I'm like, let me just see what motherhood has. And it was a lot longer, a lot more pages. So I'm like, wow, it's probably a need for something like this. So in that moment, literally, the name hit me, the WTF.
Yeah.
I kind of smiled, like, oh, I got the name. It hit me. And I text Dr. Raheem and said, I got it. I sent him the name of it, and he started laughing. He sent LOL, LMAO. And I'm like, all right, we got it. And shortly after that, we got incorporated. We got our LLC. Then maybe a year after that, we got our 501c3 status. So we've been doing it ever since, basically since 2016.
You know, I love hearing that story because it's not really wholly dissimilar from how the Company of Dads started. And that was, you know, during the pandemic, I was looking and saying there must be some sort of organization, you know, for guys like me, you know, and I was like, we use the term lead dad, and, you know, lead dad is a go-to parent, whether he works full-time, part-time, devotes all of his time to his children. And same as you, you know, I was like, there's not a lot out there for dads. And, you know, then it's like, well, what is there for moms? Lots of stuff. Okay. What is there for parents? Well, turns out all the stuff for parents is really for moms. And then I started looking around. I found this magazine called Fatherly, and I reached out to those guys because I was at the New York Times at that point. And I said, you know, tell me a bit more about this. And like, oh, yeah, it's great, going really well. But you got to know this. And I said, what? It says, you know, 65% of the readers of Fatherly are moms. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And so, like, you know, had you not already taken WTF, I might have used that because I'm like, what? This isn't, you know, right. Tell me, like, you know, so you started back in 2015, 2016, and it all starts rolling along. You know, it's amazing because, you know, look, there's this huge need. There's still this huge need. You know, I believe that you know, the pandemic has changed some of the things, hopefully for the better, around work and life for fathers. But what was it like in those early days? And what was your goal from the beginning with Welcome to Fatherhood?
Yeah, so at the time, when we started having our meetings, we started having them in around 2018. We started having our what we call now our symposiums, our parent symposiums. But we're doing them all in person. So we'll come up with a topic and then we'll come up with questions designed to get dads to open up and talk. So it's like more of like a group session. You know, it's like a, we call it group sessions, but I think it's more therapeutic, you know, in a way, because a lot of men, we hold a lot of things in. We don't even talk about stuff. So, but in 2018, we started doing them. And we kept doing them every week, twice a month, actually. It was the first and third Thursday, which it still is today, first and third Thursday of every month. And the pandemic started. So we couldn't do it in person anymore. So we like, man, what can we do? So we had Zoom. So like, we started doing it 100% on Zoom. And it was actually a blessing in disguise, because really we started reaching out to a lot more dads, because it wasn't just in this local, like in Chicago. It became really nationwide and really even worldwide. We had dads on the calls from like Australia, from Africa, from the UK, like all over the world. So we were able to reach dads by doing it through Zoom. So that's kind of where it is now as far as our symposiums. We have a lot of good conversations. A lot of times we kind of get off the script because, you know, everybody wants to talk about whatever they want to talk about. And it's fine. Like, okay,
yeah,
talk about what you want to talk about. That's what it's all about. Just open up and talk, you know. So we've been doing it consistently ever since. And we still use Zoom. We're trying to get it more hybrid, where we have people in person and on Zoom. But I don't know. I think people, the pandemic changed people in a way, you know. Yeah. So I understand people not wanting to come in close proximity yet with people. But that's kind of where we are now with our symposiums.
When you think about, you know, what you've learned, or what you've seen, if you've seen things change over these sort of 8 or 9 years that you've been doing this, what are some of the things that stick out for you around, you know, sort of the evolution of fatherhood, or if not, you know, trends that you've noticed among, you know, fathers, both pre and post pandemic?
Well, even before the pandemic, we were kind of stuck on our screens, from the dads and tripping it down to the kids, like, here, take a tablet and watch whatever for an hour or two to be distracted, or play a game, or even the video games. And that happened really back when I was a kid, like the video game part. But even now, even more, like, it's so, everything is so on demand. It's right in front of your face as soon as you want it. So I think for dads now, and going back 8 years ago until now, for me, it's being cognizant of, A, what I put in front of my kids, what kind of stuff am I exposing them to via TV or via their screens. But two, also, how much time are you spending on these screens? Like, because you only got a certain amount of time on this planet. So how else can we use our time instead of just looking at the screen all day? So yeah. I like to take my kids out. We go to the park when it's nice in Chicago. Even when it's not nice, we still go for a walk. But we walk around a block, or we walk where like the Christmas lights are, just to get a fresh air, you know?
Yeah.
Just to give them different experiences. I think that's important for the kids, even for us as men. You need new experiences, not just the same ones on our screens.
Yeah, I mean, we sort of, you know, obsess over kids and screens, but, you know, we all know that if we're sitting at home on a couch, you know, engaging, it's hard not to check our phones. It's hard not to do this. Whereas if you're out and about, you're there. You have to, you know, you can't lose your kids in the park. You have to pay attention. You know, you have to keep talking to them. Tell me, you know, what's a week like in your life as both, you know, a dad, you know, a nonprofit co-founder, and, you know, a host of the Welcome to Fatherhood podcast?
I'm divorced now. So I was married, and I got divorced in 2019. And we do a co-parenting type of arrangement where she has them for 4 nights. I have them for 3. So it's basically like 50-50 almost. But I get them on Friday. I pick them up on Friday. So my week begins on Friday. That's how I look at my week. My week begins with my kids. So I pick them up from school Friday evening, take them back, and then we spend the whole weekend together. And I drop them back off at school on Monday. And I call them every day during the week, Tuesday through Thursday. But Friday through Monday is when I have them. And after I drop them off, I get to work. So I'm literally, what I'm doing now is what I do with Welcome to Fatherhood. I, you know, work on the podcast that we have, also social media. I'm doing most of that right now. And I'm just, you know, working on Welcome to Fatherhood until I pick them up again.
Yep. Talk to me about your own journey as a father. How has it, you know, evolved sort of, you know, from when you were married to now as a single divorced dad?
That's a good question, man. It changed a lot. It definitely changed a lot. So when I first became a dad, you know, I thought fatherhood was based on like what my own experience was in regards to my dad, my grandfather, like seeing other dads. But when you become a dad, you know, it's nothing like what you expect.
Yeah.
Nothing. So when I became a dad, I didn't know what to expect, man. I was nervous, anxious, like all the emotions you could think of. And I could take you a quick story about my son was born.
Yeah.
We had no idea what he was. We didn't know if he was a boy or a girl the whole time. And when he came out, they turned him. I'm like, it's a sense of like the joy. Yeah. Like, man. What I think about from then to now, I think I've grown as a dad in regards to like my patience. Cause then I was when I first became a dad, I was on edge. Like I got to do everything a certain way. But now it's like it's not that way because every kid you have is different. They're different people, so you have to tailor your parenting to who they are. It can't just be this one cut approach for all your kids. It's different. We start having more kids, but I think for now, for me, I think I've grown in regards to my patience with my kids because I could calmly have a conversation even when they're flustered, frustrated, maybe screaming and yelling or mad. I guess remain calm during those moments instead of matching their energy.
Yeah, I remember. It's a good point. I remember I joke with friends and with my kids about this, and I said, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I just gave up yelling. You know, I just said, like, I'm quitting yelling. We quit all kinds of things. And they laugh, but like, it's pretty serious because like, nothing good comes from yelling. Like you don't like, and we all yell. It's not like, you know, I'm not perfect. There's some moments when I'm like, I cannot, like literally, WTF are you doing right now? Like, how is this? Like, you cannot do this. Like what? But for the most part, I don't, because, you know, the child is worked up. You're worked up. Nothing good comes to it. It's this energy of just clashing. And so like, you know, when my kids are a little worked up, I try even more to stay calm or to just be even and to sort of to listen. And, you know, when you think of, and, you know, on your podcast, on some of the other work you're doing, both in person and online with dads, you know, what are the things, you know, you've got 12 years experience. I have 14 years experience, but I joke, I don't know the rest of the movie beyond, you know, age 14. But what are some of the things that you tried to share with dads to get them to open up, to get them to sort of, you know, be honest with themselves, but also honest with both the joy and the struggles of being a dad today?
Yes. Yeah, so one of the questions we ask on our podcast is at the end is if you had to give any advice to any dad that's listening, what advice would you do? Would you give? And we've done over 100 interviews, and I would say we're playing Family Feud. And we hit the buzzer. I hit the buzzer first, and I said, number one answer, I'll say, be present.
Yeah.
Bing, number one. That's probably the number one answer that I've heard. And not just on the podcast, but also with our, you know, conversations with dads, is to be present, to be there. Because that's all your kids know, is there's dad. But where are you in that moment? Are you there with your kids? Or are you somewhere else?
Yep. Yeah. Talk about how you and Dr. Raheem Young came to, you know, work together. How has this changed, you know, your friendship? I mean, you say he's your childhood best friend. You know, I think it was on the fourth or fifth podcast. We're up to like 107 now.
Yeah.
I had my childhood best friend on, you know, and you grew up doing all this kind of fun stuff, nonsense stuff, serious stuff, but then you become dads. What is this whole project of you guys working together? What has it done for your relationship, and what's it meant for you guys as fathers on your own?
I think it made us appreciate being dads on our own, because he has three kids. He already had three kids before I had my first one. So he was already experienced.
So he was very competitive then as a best friend. He was very competitive. He had to get those three kids.
You know what? That's funny you say that. He is very competitive. He is super competitive. He hates to lose. So, I think over time we've learned more about each other, just by working in close proximity with each other. He became a doctor while we were starting Welcome to Fatherhood. He got his doctorate like right around that same time. So that's even where I got my the Sir Royce from, is from him not wanting to use the doctor in certain in conversations. Like we'll record a podcast and he'll say Raheem Young. He'll say he wouldn't say doctor, Raheem Young. I'm like, man, say it. You went to school 8 years. Use it.
Yeah.
Well, if you're not gonna call yourself doctor, I'm gonna call myself sir. Just to
and that's how it came about.
Yeah, we were actually recording a podcast when we were talking about it. And then I went on LinkedIn that day, put in sir right in front of my name. Like, here you go.
I love it. I always wanted to be like Admiral. You know, if I had to do it, I would be Admiral Sullivan. I don't know. It just sounds good. But I love Sir Royce. It sounds like it should have always been that way.
Do it. Admiral. I like that. Admiral Paul Sullivan.
You know, every day as fathers, we try to get, you know, more wins than losses. And it's a process. You know, you said we have to be present. You know, you want to, you know, manage that screen time. You want to make sure, you know, you control your own emotions as you learn about, you know, being a dad. But when you think about, you know, the type of father you are, what are the things that you're most proud of as the type of father you are? And what are the things where you think, you know, maybe I could still work on this a little bit?
Yeah, so I would say, like I mentioned before, my patience level, but not in regards to just being like Zen level all the time. But I make a conscious effort. I'm one of the dads that doesn't spank his children. I'm one of those guys. I didn't start that way. So we talk about development from where I started to where I am now. I did my own research, listened to a couple of books. I can't think of the name of the book that really broke it down really good. I can think of it and I'll give it to you later. But just in my own experience, like the screaming is a version of spanking, in my opinion, too.
Yeah.
Because it hurts their feelings. Like everybody's hurt in that moment, but they get hurt the worst. And that's really what I base my parenting style off of, is being more, communicative and talking to them about certain things. And here, take a break, man. Go sit down for a second.
Yeah.
Take your journal, go draw for 10 minutes. Let's go play with some slime together. My daughter loves to make slime.
So that's something I've never said in my house. I can't stand slime. I've never said, hey, let's go play some slime. It's more like, can you take that outside?
I like the slime that's already made. It's already there in the container. You just pull it out, dump it out, and start playing with it. But she has the kits now. She has
two. Yeah. Oh, I know.
And each kit has 5 different types of slime you can make.
Yeah.
And there's different colors. It's like a million different combinations you can make with slime. But she loves it. So I'm like, okay, let's sit down. Even though I don't like it, I don't like measuring the glue. The whole process is long and tedious, but it comes out. It's beautiful. She plays with it. She loves it. And I'll do stuff like that with her instead of, here, take a spanking and, you know what I'm saying, just cry for a little while.
Right. So I have a slime story. So somebody, I don't know who, because the labels fell off, but somebody got my youngest daughter, my 6-year-old, a slime kit for Christmas. Oh my God. If I only knew who this person was, they would never get a Christmas card from me again. And we went on vacation for a couple of days. We went for 5 days between after Christmas and before New Year's. We went to the beach. And I packed the slime kit. And we're in the room. And she's making slime. And there's a, you know, like a hard floor. So she'd go out in the room and make the slime. And my wife looked at me and said, that's the smartest thing you've done in a long time. And I said, you're absolutely right. Cause like we brought the slime with us. It was in, you know, not in our house. And she was making the slime. And I was like, this is great. Turns out though, at the end I had to clean up. It all washes off. So that may actually made me feel a little bit better. It all washed off.
It's easy cleanup. So easy cleanup. I've grown to like actually making slime now. Like I have a jar of slime and activator, like water and activator mixed up on my kitchen sink right now. I might finish it just because I like doing it now. My daughter loves that stuff. Like she's real, like, you know, she wants to spend that quality time. So I sit down with her and do it. Yeah. Like even if I don't feel like doing it, you know, I do it.
You know, that's a great thing. I think of that a lot. Like sometimes we do things and we don't want to do them. Like, you know, last night it was Sunday. We're talking on a Monday. It was Sunday night. And I was tired. You know, you do a lot of laundry over the weekend. You try to help your kids clean up. You do all this stuff. And Sunday night, I literally was sitting in front of the TV. I wanted to watch they're playing golf in Hawaii, and it's so cold and snowy where I am right now. Like, I want to watch like a Hawaiian afternoon because I know it's warm there. And I just sat down, and like, I don't know, 10 minutes into it, and my middle daughter came down and asked, you know, if I could help her, if I could help her study for her science test today. And, you know, immediately I stopped what I was doing. I was like, okay, you know, let's go. It's, you know, it's like you said before, it's like being present. Like, she needs me. This is, you know, this will, you know, watching golf in Hawaii will always be here, but this moment with my daughter, you know, will not be.
Right.
When you think about what you and Dr. Rahim are looking to do, where are you hoping to make the biggest difference with fathers, both in the Chicagoland area, but also, you know, more broadly than that?
Man, I think just having a space for dads to come together and share their experiences. Because I think iron sharpens iron. And even with fatherhood, there's a lot of things I've learned from other dads that I probably would have never knew if I never would have went down this path. So to open that up to people of all ages, all races, all creeds, everywhere, I would love to see it worldwide, because it's needed everywhere. It's not just in Chicago. It's not just where you are. It's everywhere. Every dad needs a space to be able to open up and talk about something other than what they're going through. Or maybe it is what you're going through.
Yeah.
But at least have that opportunity to be able to speak your mind.
What do you think the biggest things are that hold dads back? I mean, obviously, guys who come to your sessions, guys that come to mine, these are guys who believe in it. They want it. They're embracing it. You know, we're not drafting people. We're there. We want them to come. But what do you think are the biggest things that hold dads back? Then I'll tell you, you know, what I think and see if we agree.
Man, it's a great question. I would say a lot of men are raised to, you know, get up, toughen up, stop crying.
Yeah.
Like, suck it up. Stop crying or I'll hit you some more. I'll give you something to cry about. That's what I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Like, in my upbringing. So we come up with that in mind. Whenever we come up with a problem or a situation that we maybe can't deal with, we just push it down. All right, I gotta push it down. My daughter needs help with her homework. I gotta push it down. And it stays there. I think each one of those moments are like seeds. Like, when you plant a seed, like, you push it down in the ground, it's still there. Mm-hmm. Then eventually it grows and it sprouts, and you might have an outburst. Your daughter yells, you yell back at her. Or you raise your hand. You know, you do whatever. In that moment, you don't have control. You lose control because you got that seed that you never took care of.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, I talk a lot about, you know, the link between, you know, masculinity and money, and the idea that, you know, fathers need to be the providers and, you know, can't be caregivers as well. And I you know, really push to see if we can, you know, see the complexity of the world, that, you know, men need to be caregivers. You know, it's okay if, you know, you and your wife earn the same amount of money. It's okay if your wife earns more than you. It's more like thinking about, you know, and you, as, you know, a single dad. We know 18% of men in the United States are divorced, widowed, or otherwise single. Huge component of the company of dads. And like, to get, you know, support to go through this. And I think some of the things that have been, for me at least, you know, the most profound in the past 2 years is when you bring people together and they tell their story, whatever it is, or they ask their question, or they tell, and other people in the group say, yeah, I've been through that. Or, hey, thanks for saying that, because I was thinking that, but I didn't feel like I could say anything about it. And I think that's, you know, to me, the most powerful thing is like allowing, you know, kind of changing the narrative around what it means to be a man and a father.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's important, man. We are always changing, no matter where you are, wherever you started from as a dad to where you are now, you've evolved as a parent. But like you said, it's good to have that community where you can lean on to just get information, you know?
Sir Royce Brialis, thank you for being my guest on the Company of Dads podcast today. One final thing. Tell people, where can they find you? Where can they find Welcome to Fatherhood? How can they access all the great stuff that you're doing?
Yeah, so we're pretty easy to find. You search Welcome to Fatherhood, you'll see this logo. And that's us. We're everywhere. Facebook, Instagram. We're on Twitter or X. It's X now, right? But yeah, if you look Welcome to Fatherhood up on every platform, even LinkedIn, we have a community on LinkedIn as well. Our website is WT, then the word fatherhood.org. You can connect with us on there too as well.
Awesome. Thank you again, Sir Royce. It's been great having you on today.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for listening to the Company of Dads podcast. I also want to thank the people who make this podcast and everything else that we do at the Company of Dads possible. Helder Mira, who is our audio producer. Lindsay Decker, who handles all of our social media. Terry Brennan, who's helping us with the newsletter and audience acquisition. Emily Servin, who is our web maestro. And of course, Evan Roosevelt, who is working side by side with me in many of the things that we do here at the Company of Dads. It's a great team, and we're just trying to bring you the best in fatherhood. Remember, the one-stop shop for everything is our newsletter, The Dad. Sign up at thecompanyofdads.com/thedad. Thank you again for listening.